All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to MCC. Hey, if I haven't met you yet, my name is Matt Houle. I'm the lead pastor here at MCC, and we are so glad to have you in-house today. So we're going to be jumping into a brand new relationship, our relationship series called Relationship Goals. Now, here's the deal. If you are single, this series is for you. All right. Yes. Happily single. If you're dating, it's for you. If you're married, happily, it's for you. If you're unhappily married, it's for your spouse. I'm just kidding. It's for you too. This series is for you. Now, singles, the best time to work on your marriage is before you get married. Amen. Do you know that? The best time to kind of get ready and kind of dig through all this stuff and work out all the hard issues and take care of the roots and the issues and all that is before you get into marriage. But if you're married, the best time to work on your marriage is right now. Amen? Not next year, not in 10 years, but right now. Now, we talked last week about this whole idea of recovering all, kind of a theme for our year. And you might be thinking to yourself, why are we going into a marriage series right now? Well, this is why. A few years ago, my family went to the beach down in Florida and was out with my kids, and we're out like boogie boarding on the waves, you know, and enjoying ourselves. And you've been here, you know this if you've been to the beach, but after about probably a half an hour, we found ourselves like about a half mile down the beach. Now, we didn't know it. We were kind of like still, you know, going out and coming back in, and we felt like we were in the same place, but what we found, though, was that we began to drift down the beach without even knowing because the current was all going one direction. You been there? Okay, the idea of recovering all, when it comes to recovering things in Christ, there are a few things where our society has drifted more than this topic of relationships and dating and marriage and sex and all these things, right? We find ourselves in a culture right now that is drifting all one direction. If there was ever a time for us to kind of like to refocus and say, God, where should we be on this topic? This is the time. Right now, Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says this, check this out. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and then walk in it and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. So God is saying that, listen, there is a path that is the right path. In fact, it's the one that you're gonna find rest for your soul on. But at the crossroads, you got to make a decision. Are we going to go with the ancient path, with what God has ordained from the very beginning of creation? Or are we going to kind of follow new directions that honestly will not bring rest, they will bring a wreck into your life? Amen? So right now, we're going to focus for the next 4 weeks on recovering a biblical view of marriage, of sex, of dating, of relationships. All right, so who here today, you are single? Raise your hand real fast. Okay, if you're a single guy, this is your moment. Kind of look around. See how that worked? Okay, married in the house? You're married? All right, back to the singles. One more look, guys, real quickly. Okay, good. Now, if you're a single Christian guy, listen, life is hard for single Christian guys. It's tough, right? It's a hard world to kind of like be asking girls out and kind of developing the courage. You're looking on social media and it's so hard to measure yourself up and all this stuff. And so for Christian single guys, life is tough. And so I want today to kind of help you out a little bit. Amen? Now, when I was a kid, and guys that kind of had like, they were, you know, charismatic, they were smooth with the ladies. We said they had game, right? The guys got game, good game, right? And so maybe when you were younger, maybe it was a little farther back, and he said, like, they said you were a smooth operator, maybe, or something like that, I don't know. But today, a new term has come along the way, and if you're a young person in the house today, we have quite a few of them here. The term is, taken from the word, I found it last service, taken from the word charisma, the word is, yes, no? Riz. Riz is the new word right now for kind of being smooth, for having game. And so if you're a young man today, maybe you don't have much riz. I want to help you out. I'm going to give you some kind of some like Christian, some Christian pickup lines that you might can use. You know, one like this. You walk up to a young Christian lady and you say, hey, last night reading the book of Numbers and realize I don't have yours. That's good, right? That's solid. Solid. You can walk up and say this. You can say, hey, I'm Will, God's will for your life. See? It's good stuff. You could also say, hey, is your name Faith? And you say, because you're the substance of things hoped for in my life. That's solid, right? You could also say, you can kind of walk around her and say, how many times do I need to walk around you before you fall for me? Well, Jericho, see that walls? Yeah, all right. So guys, I'm trying to help you out. There you go, all right. Now you might say to me, Matt, those are not like normal lines. That's very abnormal. And I would say that's probably a good thing because today's goal, relationship goal number one is this. I want you to have an abnormal marriage. I want you to have I believe God wants you to have, even more importantly, an abnormal marriage. Because right now, normal is divorced. Normal is heading for divorce. Normal is staying together for the kids. Normal is bitter. Normal is contentious. Normal is whatever, lots of things. But I believe God's plan for your life is for you to have an abnormal marriage when it comes to the way our culture sees it. My marriage is not normal. It's happy. I love my wife. We saved ourselves from marriage. We a lot of things about our relationship would be very abnormal if the world looked at us, but the reality is God's way is better. And so if your marriage looks abnormal, it's probably a good thing. Amen? I believe MCC should buck all the trends when it comes to normal trends in marriage. That we should be a people who are committed to our spouses. That we should be a people who are in love madly, amen? Not just mad, but madly in love, amen? The world's got the mad thing figured out. We want to be madly in love with our spouses. And so I want to give you today six characteristics of an abnormal marriage. If you're taking notes, you can write these things down. I always encourage you to take notes. Note takers are world changers. We believe you will retain more. You'll get more out of it. So take notes as we're going through. But number one, here we go. Abnormal marriage characteristic is this. Abnormal marriages are not selfish. They're not selfish. In fact, we read that passage just a few minutes ago about the love of God and the love God asks of us. And it is not self-seeking was one of those pieces, right? Normal love in our society is a selfish endeavor. It's all about self-gratification. It's all about what I can get out of this. It's about what does this accomplish in my life? How's it gonna make me feel if I'm in this relationship? So love and relationships are all revolving around this idea of what do I get out of it? How can I selfishly be gratified in this relationship? But what does God call us as believers to do? We're gonna see a great picture of it in Philippians chapter 2, where it says this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you looking to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a what? Servant. Of a servant. Being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Abnormal marriage is two selfless people trying to outserve the other person. And that should be our goal. How can I serve the success of my partner? How can I serve the needs that they have? How can I die to myself every day and give of myself to bless my spouse? You know, my dad, I've said it before, my dad gave me what I think is the best marriage advice that I ever received, and it was this. He said, Matt, if it's important to her, it needs to be important to you. Amen. It's very simple, but so much is encapsulated in that one statement. If it's important to your spouse, it needs to be important to you. What's important to your spouse? What's important to him? Is hunting important to him? Yeah. That's a little sensitive, I can tell. Is you being home on Saturday important to her? Then you guys can fight that out, figure out like where you guys should land on that. Who's gonna give of themselves and serve the other person? Right? Because if it's important to him, it should also be high on your priority list. If it's important to her, it should also be high on your priority list. Now, there's an old book that came out. It's old now. It was new at one point, but it's called The Five Love Languages. Remember that book? And so it has these five ways that people receive love. And so things like words of affirmation is one of them. Quality time is one of them. Acts of service is one of them. Receiving gifts and then physical touch. And so it's kind of good to go through that test, and you can take it online. You can figure out, what are my top two ways? And so yours could be, you might be like, you know, I'm an acts of service person, and I like getting gifts. And those are my two main things. And you might look at your husband and think, he's a physical touch guy, and then second, touch me again. Like, it's like that's all that he wants. And so I don't know where you land on that, but knowing how your partner receives love and kind of feels loved by you is actually really important and very helpful to your marriage. And so learning how they'll receive and understand love is a big deal. And so the first thing we're going to do is not be selfish. We're going to be selfless. We're going to serve one another. The second characteristic of an abnormal marriage is this. Second one is abnormal marriages fight right. They fight right. There's a righteous way to fight, right? There are very unrighteous ways to fight. We all agree with that. But there are righteous ways to kind of fight things out. And fight's probably a strong word. Maybe for you, it's more like an argument. We're like WWF, like it's like, you know, top rope. Man, it's, you know, I'm just kidding. But you can fight in a right way, a righteous way. And you might think to yourself, I thought no couples that were Christians ever fought. But that's not the reality. You can fight. You just need to not fight dirty. You know, with me? It's a great passage in Ephesians chapter 4. And Paul says this, in your anger, do not sin. So does it say don't be angry ever? No, it says when you get angry, don't sin. And then it says do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. So Paul, they're giving us kind of a little bit of how-tos when it comes to fighting things out and having conflict. So when you're angry in an argument, in a conflict, he says don't sin. There are lines that you should not cross in a fight. Amen, married couples? There are places if you say that thing, that will leave a scar. Amen? There are places where you can kind of talk through things and all things are well, but there are certain places where if you touch that place, it's going to go not well for you and probably not well for your marriage long term. And so knowing where those lines are at and not crossing those lines is a really important thing. You don't want to wound your spouse in a fight. You want to fight righteously. You don't want to sin against them in a fight. The second thing it says, I think it's so important, it also says, hey, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let it kind of linger too long. It's not really saying a specific like time frame, like when the sun's setting, you got to run back inside and take care of things. What it's saying is, don't let it linger too long. Take care of it in a timely manner. Here's what I know. If you're fighting about the same thing after 3 days, you're not fighting right. Yeah? Can we all agree there? If you're a couple that fights long about something, here's the deal. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I die to myself, he said, every day. He said, I lay down my rights, I lay down my pride every day. I lay down all those things that I want so badly to hold on to, but I lay them down for the cause of Christ. And in this way, we're laying them down for the good of our relationship and for our spouse. And so if you're fighting 3 days on the same topic, somebody is not dying daily. And it could be that both of you aren't. And so what Paul is saying is when you're in a conflict, resolve it quickly. Go back, humble yourself, say you're sorry with no but at the end of it. I'm sorry for doing that, but if you hadn't done that, you know what I'm saying? That's a bad apology. Just say, I'm sorry for what I did. Say it specifically. When I did that, when I said that, when I went there, that was wrong. I'm sorry for doing that. And then when your spouse says that, your response is what? Is I don't accept that apology. It wasn't quite good enough. No, we say, I forgive you. And so we're gonna forgive, which is actually our next thing. Number three, abnormal marriages really forgive. They really, everyone say, really forgive. Not just like in words like, yeah, I forgive you. And I'm going to hold on to that and wait until the next fight and then I'm going to pull that out. No, it's not that. We're going to really forgive and let go of a lot of things. Now listen, as Christians, forgiveness is kind of a big deal to us, right? We talk about it a lot, and there's a reason why. It's because in Colossians 3, listen to what it says. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then he says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive who? Anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others. This is why forgiveness is a big deal in your marriage. If you're in Christ, you are forgiven of a debt that you could not possibly pay. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were yet or still sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the absolute penalty, giving his life on the cross so that you and I could be set free from death. We sing about it earlier. So we could be free from the punishment of sin on our life that we deserved. He took that punishment on himself. Because you've been forgiven in Christ, he says, therefore you should also forgive others. So when we forgive, we want to let things go completely. Years ago, when we were first married, my wife and I, we're in our first house. And one night, we're sitting on the couch, and we see this little, like, flash of brown, like, run across our living room. And I said, just like that, did you see that? And she said, I think something, yeah. And, like, within the next day or so, sure enough, we begin to see signs of a little what? You all know. You've had mice too. We're all on the same page here, folks. No condemnation, no judgment. We've all had mice. Amen? Okay. I'm actually going to give you two stories today about mice. So here's the first one. So the next day, we see this mouse in our kitchen, and it kind of scurries from one thing to another, and we trap it in a corner, and we had no trap. We had nothing. We didn't know what to do with it. And so we got a pan out. And we, like, cornered it, and we finally got the pan on top of it. And then I got a piece of plastic or something and put it underneath, and I carried it outside. I'm pro-life. And so I put it outside, and I picked the pan up, and the mouse runs off. Well, guess what? That mouse liked our house. And it came back in. So the next day, I'm chasing the same dumb mouse in my house, and so we got a trap. I was less pro-life the next day. And so we trapped that mouse and we killed the mouse. I know, it was terrible. But what never happened again was that mouse never came back in my house. And so the story has a good ending, really. When you forgive somebody, that's what it's like. You're saying, I'm going to bury this thing. I'm going to give it a funeral and I'm going to move on. I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm not going to be like an archaeologist where, like, the next fight, I'm going to dig that thing back up. But you did not. No, I'm going to let things go. Forgiving is letting it die and burying it and moving on. And so we are a people who are going to forgive in our marriages. Amen? All right. Number four, abnormal marriages. And this is a big one. I'm going to save some marriages right here. You ready? Abnormal marriages set weird boundaries. Abnormal marriages set weird boundaries. In our backyard, we have a little fire pit, and it has these cool little kind of paver stones around it. And in the fall and in the spring, we go out there and we put all the limbs in it, and then we'll get out the marshmallows and graham crackers, and we'll make s'mores, and it's such a sweet time. And around that fire, we'll get our chairs out, and we'll all, like, sing Kumbaya. I mean, it's amazing, guys. I'm telling you. So we have this. It really is a warm place for us to be, not just like physically, but also a kind of warm family place for us. And so we really enjoy our time out there. And in that little pit, that fire brings warmth, and it brings light, and it brings laughter, and it brings joy and peace and just wonderful memories. But if I set that same fire in my living room, it'd burn my house down. Yeah? The same love and passion and excitement that you have in this area of relationships with your spouse, in the right setting, it can bring warmth and light and joy and laughter and peace and all these wonderful things. But if you take that same passion, that same intensity, that same desire in the wrong place, and it will burn your house down. And this is why we set up boundaries like that fire pit. So for Andrew and I, we have some weird boundaries like this. I don't ever drive alone in a car with a woman. I don't meet with people, hang out with women one-on-one. I don't ever have an intimate friendship with a woman. And that might seem weird, and you might think, isn't that kind of sexist? No, ladies, you don't have to do that either. Don't have a friendship with a guy either. I mean, just like, let's just make this a universal thing. Because if I begin to share with somebody else, like, secrets that I'm not telling my wife, that's bad. Can we all agree there? There are boundaries that we set in place. And you know what? Today, not having that boundary might not be any big deal at all. But there could be a day down the road that having that boundary might save my marriage. The Song of Solomon chapter 2 says this. It says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the things that sneak in that destroy your marriage from down below. That's what happens. And so for us, we've set in place some boundaries that on the day where it could destroy us, we won't even come close to it. Let me give you my second mouse story. Are you ready? Again, no judgment, right? Like we're all feeling good about this. Now, if you have roaches in your house, totally different. It's a lot of shame with that, okay? But mice, we've all had it. So yeah. So this is the house we had just recently. We moved recently, but the one before that, we one night we're sitting on the couch and we began to hear some kind of like scurrying sounds. And I went into our kitchen and I'm looking around and I sure enough opened a cabinet door. I see little mouse droppings, signs of mice in my house. And so I set a trap in that. And the next day, get up in the morning, guess what, man? Dead mouse. It's awesome. And I took that mouse out, put it in the trash, you know, and then I put it back in there just in case. That night, again, we're sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden I hear, and I'm like, what? So I walk over there, another mouse. And this happened like 3 or 4 times. I know, a little bit of shame now. You guys are feeling it. So I get in that cabinet, I'm looking around with a little flashlight, and sure enough, and you know what's coming. There's a little pipe that runs through that cabinet. And the opening is a little bigger than it should have been, and there's nothing inside that opening. And so mice were getting in the house and screwing up that little pipe into that cabinet. That's why they kept on coming in that same place every time. So what did I do? I get out that little kind of foam gun stuff, you know, like a man. Like a yellow, foamy, I don't know. And I get up in there, I spray in that little hole, close it up. Guess what? No more mice problem. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, don't give the enemy a foothold in your life. Now, what that's saying is, don't let a crack remain where the enemy can get in. Make sure you close off every door. And boundaries are doing just that. It's the art of closing the door before the enemy shows up at it. That's what you're doing. Because setting boundaries today eliminates the temptations you will have to resist tomorrow. Setting boundaries today eliminates the temptations you will face tomorrow. You don't want to have to always be weathering temptation. You want to set boundaries in place that will keep you safe on that day, but set them this day. Amen? And with that, I'm telling you, I might save some marriages just with that statement. I'm serious. Set some boundaries in place. Walk in wisdom. Don't get close to those lines. Don't have intimate friendships with the opposite sex. Just be careful. Make sure your spouse never has to wonder what you're doing. Amen? Guys, get some software on your computer to close it up. Is that okay? Can we just say that? It's okay. Draw some lines. And they might, to the world, seem very weird. But abnormal marriages have weird boundaries so they can walk in the blessing of God. Amen? All right, number 5. Abnormal marriages never say die. Like the Goonies. How many of you guys are not getting that connection? My wife. You grew up in the 80s, babe. Goonies never say die. Come on, guys. Man. Cut me deep, girl. Cut me deep. All right, so our culture looks at marriage like a contract that they can come in and out of based on what the other person does. So every, you know, all the time you're signing contracts, you know, whether it's a credit card or it's a, you know, a home loan or it's a, you know, lots of things, right? Even your Netflix, whatever. All these things have a contract that you're signing. Now, in a contract, what you're saying basically is this. Now, if I fulfill my end of the bargain and you do yours, then we'll stay together in this relationship. But if you go back on your side of the bargain, then I can also break my side. And so our culture is looking at marriage like that. And what they say is basically like, listen, we're going to do all this stuff. We'll combine our assets and we'll have the kids and we'll have the house under both of our names. And all these things happen. But the moment that you say, I'm not going to do my end of the bargain, my part of this contract, and you say on your end, like, well, then I'm out too. And we're going to divide all this stuff up and I'll take the kids or you can have the kids. And we're done. But the Bible does not talk about terms in marriage. It's not about protecting your rights. It's not about keeping you under the bargain. The Bible in Malachi 2 says this. Check this out. The Lord is the witness between you and the wife of your youth. She is your partner, the wife of your marriage, what? Covenant. Covenant. Now, when the Bible speaks about marriage, it's not as a contractual agreement. It's about a covenant that you enter in before God. That's what the Bible looks at. It's not about protecting your rights. It's about laying down your rights. It's not about protecting your interest. It's about being interested in what is going to bless the Lord and honor him, but also what's going to be the interest of your spouse as well. It's a covenant of marriage. It's between you and your partner and God. A third person is in the equation. Now, when it comes to Christian marriage, this is something that's like just a good thing to keep in mind. Not every day is going to be good in your marriage. Do we all understand that? If you're married, 2 days, you know that, right? There are some hard days in marriage, some tough days, some tough moments. And the equation, we kind of put it like this. It's kind of an 80-20 split. 80% of your marriage is going to be good. If you're doing the right things generally, if you're not sinning against your spouse, if you're honoring your spouse, 80% of your marriage is going to be good. And 20%, it's going to be hard. So 80-20. But when you look at Hollywood, and if you grew up on Disney like I did, what you think is, when I get married, I'm going to live happily, how much? Oh, ever after. Forever. I'm always going to be happy. So maybe it's like a 99 and one split, like 99% of the time I'll be really happy. But in 1%, it's probably kind of hard, but that's okay. But that 19% discrepancy can cause a lot of problems in your marriage. Because if you came in thinking the expectations are going to be that, basically what you're saying is this, this is what often happens, is a wife basically will hand Jesus' job description to her husband and say, here's what you're expected to do. And so you're never going to leave me or forsake me. You're going to give me the abundance of joy at all times. Peace forevermore. It's going to be just awesome. So thank you for all these things you're going to provide for me. It's going to be amazing. So thank you for fulfilling this job description, which is actually Jesus' job description. Because the reality is your husband or your wife cannot be Jesus to you. And if you come into marriage thinking this is the expectation, this is the bar, it's going to be almost perfect, then that 19% discrepancy can really blow your marriage up. You have to understand that your partner, your spouse is going to have days where they are going to be sad. She might have seasons, he might have seasons where he feels depressed. He might lose his job, she might lose her job. She might spend too much, she might make some bad financial decisions. That happens, right? Someone could get sick. You said things like for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, but when those things happen and you realize, man, this is not what I signed up for. Is this the road that I'm going to have to walk out from now on? Like, he did that, she did that. Like, what? How are we going to keep moving forward? And if you thought to yourself it's going to be almost perfect and it's not, that expectation gap can really wreak havoc in your marriage. So you have to come in understanding that this is the deal. We're going to have some hard times, but abnormal marriages never say die. We're going to keep moving forward. We're not going to laugh about, We're not going to fight with this term involved. We're not going to say, I want to divorce you. We're going to keep that D word out of our vocabulary. Amen? Amen? We're going to commit. And there are obviously, I'm not going to get into the whole like theological like underpinning of that. There are occasions, even biblically, there are kind of those two little clauses where God allows possibly an open door out of marriage based on some things that can happen. We know that. But in general, though, we're going to forgive. We're going to walk in mercy. We're going to grow together. We're going to fail together, succeed together. And on the hard days, we're going to never say die. We're going to keep moving forward. Amen? Amen? All right. Abnormal marriages. Number six, abnormal marriages. This is the big one. They have Christ at the center. They have Christ at the center. Now, I'm not talking about a kind of a nod to Christianity. I'm not talking about putting a cross around your neck and coming to MCC like four times a year. I'm not saying like it's like a faux spirituality. I'm saying people that have Christ at the center of their lives individually and then collectively as a couple. This is abnormal marriage, but I'm telling you right now, Jesus in the center changes everything around it. Amen? And so as a people, we want to commit to having abnormal marriages, but more than anything else, we're going to keep Christ at the center because this is what's going to happen. Christ can repair what is broken in your marriage. Christ can bring forgiveness over the sins committed against one another. Christ can convict. He can heal. He can bring peace. He can rebuild what's been torn down. Jesus is the key for your marriage. You can have a Christian marriage and love Jesus and still fail one another. But if you will keep Jesus at the center, I'm telling you, if you will each keep Jesus at the center of your lives and of your marriage, there's not a storm you can't weather. There's not a trial you can't walk through. There's not a fire you can't come out of, not even smelling like smoke, amen? Like the three men in the fiery furnace, man, didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. Jesus can do that. Keep him at the center of your life, amen? If I said today, in closing, I'm wrapping up here. If I said to you, hey, today when you go home, I want to just give you a word of warning. When you go home today, if you go the normal way you go, like this is the way you always go home, there's going to be a car accident, and you've got a 50% chance of being in that accident and dying if you go that way. But if you go this other back way, it's a little longer, it's a little slower, it's a little more difficult, but if you go that way, 100%, you will make it safely home. Which one will you choose? You would easily go the slow, hard, winding way to make it safely home. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is a car accident. It's death. In our marriages, there are paths you can choose, but the path that God wants you to choose, it is not the normal path, not the way that most marriages go. But I'm telling you, if you'll follow the Lord, if you'll keep Christ at the center, if you'll be those who serve one another, if you'll bless your spouse and not curse, if you'll walk with your spouse through the hard days, if you'll honor Christ in your marriage, if you'll fight right, if you'll do all those things, set weird boundaries, all that kind of stuff, if you'll do those things, it's a path that not many choose, but I'm telling you, you'll make it safely home. And that's God's plan for your marriage. I believe that. God wants your marriage to be blessed. He doesn't want it to die. He doesn't want it to be destroyed. He wants you to make it all the way to the end and have the blessing and favor and goodness of God seen. Amen? I'm gonna ask you to stand up with me. I wanna pray over you. If you're next to your spouse, I'm gonna ask you to hold her hand. Andrea, you come here with me, for me? She's gonna hate that, but I'm gonna make her. She's got her Valentine's Day shirt on. Huh? Debatable. She's loving it. All right. So hold your spouse's hand. If you're here with your fiance, hold that person's hand. If you're standing next to somebody that you're hoping to date, this is your moment. Just kidding. Just kidding. But I want to pray over you. I want to bless you. I want to pray that God will make your marriages stand out. They'll be abnormally good. Amen? Abnormally blessed. Abnormally happy. I'm going to pray that your houses will vibrate with laughter. You're going to be so stinking happy. That you'll sleep well. That you'll have peace at night when you lay your head in the pillow. Amen? You'll have good dreams. And there will not be any anxiety or depression in your home. You'll be blessed when you rise and blessed when you lay down. Amen? I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray right now for every marriage in this room, for every couple that's here. I pray for those who even came today and maybe without a spouse, maybe praying for a lost spouse even. God, I pray for every marriage represented in this room. God, you know the various heartaches. You know the wounds, the trials, the fires they've faced. You know the ways they've let each other down. But God, you also know that there's a good path laid out before them. God, I thank you for your word that says you've already prepared in advance good works for them to walk in together. God, I thank you for marriage. Thank you for the covenant. And I thank you for the good that it brings to our lives. And so I do pray right now a blessing over every marriage. I pray blessing over their homes. I pray blessing over their relationships. I pray blessing. God, give them joy. Let them have peace, God, in their homes. I do pray that every room in their house, God, would just shake with laughter. There would be a new season of joy and of blessing. I pray, God, they would set boundaries that are wise and walk within those boundaries. And I pray that in that place, they would find blessing and the goodness of God. Lord, keep them safe from every strategy of the enemy. I thank you, the word says that no weapon formed against them will prosper. And so I speak that over them in the name of Jesus. I thank you that in the hard times, God, when they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your promise is that you will be with them and they need not be afraid. They need not be afraid. Even right now, whatever you're walking through, that's the word of God to you. Don't be afraid. I'm with you in this. So God, I do pray for a table to be prepared before every married person in this room. In the presence of their enemies, with the enemy always trying his best, I pray, God, they will see the goodness and the mercy of God traveling with them all the days of their lives. God, bless these marriages. Bless these couples, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let them walk with you, with Christ at the center of their lives, and let them find a blessing in every area because of that. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for one moment. One more group today I want to talk to you. If you're here this morning and you've never put Christ at the center of your life individually, you've never invited Christ to come into your life to forgive your sins, to make you righteous in him, to cleanse you, to sanctify you. You've never given your life to Jesus, but today you want to make a decision to put Christ at the center of your life, to give your life to him. If that's you, God wants to step into your life today. I'm going to ask you right now in the quietness of this moment, to put your hand up real high in the air. I'm going to acknowledge it. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? This is your moment to give your life to Christ. Anybody else? Thanks, buddy. Anybody else? Praise God. Yeah, in the back. Praise God. Couple back there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else real quickly? Yeah, thank you. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask that every person in the room pray along with me. We're gonna make a kind of prayer of dedication right now, inviting Christ to come into your life and giving your life to him. And God's gonna come into your life and change it from the inside out. Amen? Everyone pray with me. Everyone say, Jesus, come into my life. I ask you to forgive all my sins. And I ask you to be King and Lord of my entire life. Come take your rightful place at the center of my life. On the throne of my heart, I give myself to you. And I thank you right now that my name is being written in your book of life. I am a new creation. I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, come on. Amen. Let's give God praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. Two things. If you prayed that prayer, two things I want you to do. One, make sure somebody here knows about that. Actually, three things. That's one. Two, if you're a new believer today, maybe you even prayed a prayer last week, if you're a new believer though, there's a book we have at the front desk, the little welcome desk out to the left. Go to that desk, get a little book. It's gonna help you kind of take your first steps in Christ. And speaking of first steps, number three, get baptized. We got one coming up. It's gonna be awesome, and we're gonna celebrate with you the new life you found in Christ. God bless you guys. Have an incredible week. We'll see you next Sunday morning.